Well, good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? For those of you online, we're so glad that you're joining us. For those of you who are here, it's so great to see you all. Tonight, we're going to talk about don't fake it, make it. Because we live in a society that tells us you got to fake it till you make it. But here's the thing. That's actually fundamentally wrong. And let me explain to you why. You might be a little young, so you might not know who these people are. But I want to show you a picture of two people. You can put it up at any time. There we go. I can tell by your laughter. Some of you know who these people are. Some of you are like, hey, who that guy? Who's those two guys? What are they? So this is a group called Milli Vanilli. Okay? And if you're born, if you're young, you might not know who these people are. But they are very important people. Because they won a Grammy back in 1980-something when I was like 4 years old. But here's the thing. Here's how I know. This is how I know Milli Vanilli. And I'm pretty sure many of you know them for the same reason. It's because on July 21st, 1989, this group Milli Vanilli was performing live on MTV. Believe it or not, for those of you who are younger, MTV was a station on TV that played music, not just shows. But these they were getting ready for a live performance on this date, and what happened was as they're performing, the track skipped of one of their most famous songs, "Girl You Know It's," "Girl You Know It's," "Girl You Know It's," and so they got caught lip sinking. And then as the scandal continued to grow, they found out that Milli Vanilli didn't even sing the song. It was somebody else singing the song. And the funny thing is, Milli Vanilli, if you actually know the scandal, they actually could sing. They just couldn't sing well. So the record producer's like, you know what, we're gonna just use you guys to portray the song, but we're going to actually have other people sing the song for you. And the reason why they're so infamous is because they had to give back the Grammy that they won. So here's how I know fake it till you make it does not work. Because if you fake it, you'll never make it. And you know what? When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, it's not something to be fake in. It's something to put our faith in. See, God doesn't want us to act. He simply wants us to be. When we pursue Jesus with authenticity, vulnerability, and humility, we discover who he is and who he's making us to be. Now, throughout the Gospels, we see that there's a group of people that were always in conflict with Jesus. And the funniest thing is, it wasn't the sinners. It wasn't the outcasts. It wasn't the sick. It was the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders. And they were constantly in opposition with Jesus. These are religious leaders that were in opposition with the Son of God. And why were they in opposition with Jesus? It's because they focused more on faking righteousness and holiness instead of actually being made righteous and holy. In fact, in Matthew 15, verses 7-9, Jesus actually addresses them like this. He says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There's one show that I used to always watch. I watched it when it's on Jimmy Fallon. It's Lip Sync Battle. How many of you guys watch Lip Sync Battle? You guys watch Lip Sync Battle? Basically, Lip Sync Battle is where they have these celebrities come on and they lip sync one song. And so I remember watching a couple episodes, I was like laughing, yeah! I was laughing, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me one time when I was watching an episode, I'm watching a show of celebrities lip-syncing. They're not even singing the song. Like, could you imagine if it wasn't lip sync battle, they were actually trying to sing the song? And how horrible some of them might sound? That would have been way more funny for me. I'd probably be laughing my head off even more, because I want to see that. Because for me, I like real. And when I think about it like this, and when I see that scripture, I'm going to be honest, when I ever saw that scripture, this is what I heard was this. Jesus doesn't want us to lip sync our relationship and our lives with him. He doesn't. In fact, he wants us to be in sync with him and what he's doing. And so tonight, we're going to discover through probably the most famous Pharisee within the entire Bible on how not to fake it, but to make it. See, this Pharisee grew up. He was a Hebrew national, but he was also a Roman citizen. And so he grew up knowing all the religious teachings, and he grew up in it as a citizen in Rome. And so when there's this person named Jesus, and there's this people following Jesus, he actually hears about it, and he hears all the things that's happening, and it goes against his religious teachings. It goes against, it's blasphemy to him. And so he actually is one of the guys in charge of chasing down the ones following this guy named Jesus. This man's name is called Saul. And Saul was there when Stephen, one of the disciples, got stoned. He was the one that actually grabbed all the, casted lots and all these things. And Saul is basically given this task of, he wants to go and continue to persecute this new believers of this new way called Christianity. And so he travels to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, who does he encounter? Jesus. And Jesus tells him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul's life changes from that moment. Why? Because he encounters the one named Jesus. Saul is actually blinded. And so he goes, and God speaks to a man called Ananias and says, "Go to this man named Saul and actually put your hands on him." And Ananias is like, "Whoa, hold on, hold on, hold on. I heard the story of this guy. This guy is the one that's actually chasing down Christians. This is the guy who's actually persecuted. He's the guy who was there when Stephen got stoned." And God says to Ananias, "Go." And so he goes, he finds Saul, puts his hand on him, says, "Go," fills him with the Holy Spirit. And what happens? Saul is then changed. He's no longer following religious ways. Why? Because now he's entering a relationship with Jesus. See, when we look at the life of Saul and Paul, we see that one side of his life, he was faking it. And one side of it, he started to make it. And so tonight, don't fake it. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, let's not fake it like Saul. Let's make it like Paul. Amen? And the first way we do this is we got to stop performing. We got to stop performing. 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, "For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now here's the thing. We live in a performance-based culture, because society often looks at the outward appearance. So we try to look good. We try to perform well. We try to be successful in all the things that we do. Why? Because we want to look good. We think if we perform well, then people think that we're good. Like, think about it. That's why you have performance reviews at work, right? You get told at work, this is how you're performing, and based on your performance, you're doing either good or bad. And a lot of times, we can equate that for our worth, our value. And the most mind-boggling thing is it's this mindset that we can also carry into our relationship with Jesus. See, Saul had this mindset. Saul thought this way. He thought that the performance of upholding religious traditions equated to a successful faith in God. So did all other Pharisees. But you see, Jesus isn't concerned with the things that we do for him. In fact, he's rather looking at our heart that we have towards him. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, this is Paul saying this. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. You see, Paul realizes something in that scripture. He realizes that Jesus cares more about who we are rather than what we do. And you know, this is something that speaks to us today. I think there's a lot of times where we're trying our best to act a certain way for Jesus, that Jesus is actually saying, listen, I'd rather you just be for me. See, we can get so caught up in trying to act like a Christian that we actually forget to be a follower of Christ. That we forget to sit at his feet. That we forget to spend time with Jesus in his word and prayer. That we forget to engage in this relationship where he's in love with who we are, not what we do. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that I do that I know Jesus wouldn't, nobody should love me for. And yet Jesus says, I love you not because of what you do, but because of who you are. See, Paul realizes that his performances as Saul didn't mean anything compared to who he is in Jesus. I love it when he says that I count it worthless, I count it garbage. What he's actually saying is everything he did as a, like all those things that he did as Saul doesn't even compare, has no value compared to the things he did in his relationship with Jesus. And what that speaks to me is, for me personally, we and staff, we've been realizing that there's a lot of times where we're performance-driven in life. That we think that because we're Christians, that means I also got to perform as a Christian. And I don't know about you, but that's tiring. I get 5 kids. I cannot always go to Target and not snap at them when they're not listening. I cannot, and there's times where it's like, we think that just because we have the answer, that smooths everything else over, but a lot of times we'll find ourselves portraying and performing rather than being in the presence of Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying. God's not concerned in our activity. He's concerned with where we're at. I've been part of this church for over 20 years. And there's a lot of things when I was preparing this message today, there's a lot of things I was looking at that I was like, oh, I remember doing all those things. I remember Pastor Marshall gave a message a couple weeks ago about doing devotions. And I remember when I first came to church, doing my devotions and being like, okay, I got to check mark every single day. Every single day. Oh, I missed. I got to go back and rewind and read them all. And then all of a sudden, I found out, hey, I missed 5 days. Okay, I got to go back and read 5 more days. And then, oh my goodness, I missed like 10 days. I got to. And so what did I do? I did exactly what I did in high school. I just read the last chapter. Okay, that's the last one. Okay, shoots. Oh, yeah. Oh. And then I would get asked, hey, are you doing your devotions? Are you doing your devotion? Yeah, I'm doing my devotion. Yeah, I'm doing my devotion. Yeah. And every answer was part of my performance because I thought that, no, as a Christian, I'm supposed to look a certain way and be a certain way instead of following the way. And then I realized something just a couple years ago in the midst of COVID. I realized something. Jesus doesn't care about what I did for him. He cares more about who I am in him. See, when we live for performance, it's a very dangerous thing, because a lot of times when we perform for Jesus, we'll end up missing him, because we're focused on the doing rather than the being. See, performance says do. Jesus says done. Performance says slave. Jesus says you're his daughter and his son. Performance doesn't define us. Jesus does. Imagine that. If we focused more on who Jesus is calling us to be rather than what we're trying to do for him. And let that define us. Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. This is who Jesus defines us as. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So if we don't want to fake it no more, and we want to make it, we got to stop performing. And the next thing is this, we got to start living. We got to start living. John 10:10, in the second part of the scripture, it says, this is Jesus saying that I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. I love that scripture because it's Jesus saying, listen, I didn't just come so that you have life. I came so that you'd have the fullness of life here in this moment, right now. And when we step out of performance, we step into a genuine relationship with Jesus. One that not only defines who we are, but also the life he intends for us to have. See, a lot of time, going back to performance, if we're so caught up in performing for Jesus, we'll often miss out on living for Jesus. See, he wants us to have life. Life to the fullest. He doesn't only just want to define who we are, but also the life that he intends for us to have. He becomes the driving force in everything we do. Colossians 1:10 says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. See, when Saul was living his life as a Pharisee, he thought that's all life had, that that's what he was meant to do, that that's all it was going to be. It was him persecuting these people who believed in this man named Jesus, and that he thought he was living his life to the fullest. And then he comes to meet Jesus and engage in a relationship with him. And he realizes something, that now is the time where he's actually going to start to live. Because he no longer has to perform, but now he's going to start to live. And then we see it. I mean, we see it. His life is so drastically changed that the Bible stops calling him Saul and he becomes Paul. We see the difference in his life. See, while Saul was performance-driven, Paul became purpose-driven. Paul became purpose-driven. His purpose was Jesus, and it was this purpose in which Paul endured hardships, trials, and persecution. You know what's the craziest thing about Paul? If you read all the things that Paul went through, all the shipwrecks, all the times that he got thrown into prison, all the times that he got beat, all the times that he got bit by a snake. You read all the crazy things that happened in Paul's life, and yet he still lived it to the fullest. I don't know about you, but when I have a bad day, I'm like, ah, God, why, God, my life is over, ah. But Paul endures. He goes through hardships. He goes through trials. He goes through persecution that you and I will never have to go through. See, when Jesus not only defines who we are, but becomes our purpose in life, we'll discover that we can live life even in the hard times. Can I say that again? That when we understand that Jesus becomes our purpose in life, we discover that we can live life even in the hard moments. Whether it's up on the mountain or down in the valley, Jesus makes it possible for us to not only live life still to the fullest, but also to worship him. Last year was probably the hardest year in my entire life. And I remember all the things that I went through. I'm not going to bring it back up, but I remember everything that I went through last year. And I remember this one moment where, I'm not going to lie to you, I was like, God, I really don't want to worship you right now. Like, I love you, but I really don't want to worship you. And in this honest and authentic conversation that I was having with God at that moment, he asked me a simple question. He asked me why. And so I sat there with my Bible open, and I told him, because I'm reading your word, God, I get it, but I'm broken right here. I'm going through this stuff. I feel junk inside. Like, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to worship you right now. And in my brain, I'm going, Ben, you don't worship pastor. Again, performance. And God again said, but why? So I was like, God, I'm hurt. I'm dealing with pain. I'm dealing with loss. I'm dealing with depression. I'm dealing with stuff that I don't even know what I'm dealing with. So I don't want to worship you. And then I heard him speak. And he said, am I still not God? And right there, I realized what worship really is. Worship isn't based off of my circumstance. It's not based off what, if life is going good for me or not. Worship has everything to do with how good God is. Plain and simple. And it was in that moment, I didn't need a guitar, I didn't need anything, I just needed my heart. I just started singing. I don't even remember what song I sang. With tears rolling down my face, going, and right there, I heard the Lord say, this is worship. It's easy to worship me in the easy times. It's easy to worship me when life is going great. It's easy to worship me when the sun is shining. But when you're in the down in the valley, when all is dark, I'm still God. And it was in that moment that I realized that even though it was the most, I laugh about it now when I talk to people. Yeah, last year was the hardest year of my life, but can I tell you something? I learned what life is all about because of it. I realized that there's a reason why Paul writes in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I mean, I can't believe Paul would write that after reading everything that he went through. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. See, Jesus wants a genuine relationship with us. He doesn't want us to fake it. He wants us to make it. Jesus isn't focused on our performance. He's focused on who we are. He doesn't want us to just live life to the fullest, but wants to be the purpose in our lives. At this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. There's some of us here that, if we were to be honest with ourselves, and most of all honest with the Lord, we're performing. We're trying to look good for him. We're trying to portray him in the best that we can. But the best that we can is when we're actually real with him. When we tell him, when we're struggling, and when we're happy, when life is going good, and when it's not. It's in those moments that he's not saying, I want you to fake it. No, he's saying, I want you to make it. So stop performing. Our role isn't for us to perform. Our role is just to be. God loves us so much that he says, I don't need you to do anything. I just want you to be and remain. Because I want to love you. I love you for who you are, not what you do. And then he says, after you stop performing, start living. Life's not going to always be easy. But life's going to be full because of who I am. Don't miss out. There's a lot of times where we think, no, I don't want the darkest times in our lives. And I know we don't want them. But we got to embrace them. Because that's when the light shines the brightest. So tonight, here's what I want to encourage you, for all of you here live and for those of you online. Can we come back and remember who he is and who he's saying we are? That tonight, as we end, we would worship the Lord not in vain and not just with our lips, but with our hearts focused on who our God is and who he says you are.
Heavenly Father, accept this worship unto you. Accept our hearts.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?
Why we don't have to fake it. It's because, Lord, your love for us is real, and who you say we are is real, and who you are is real. So, Lord, when it comes to our relationship with you, Lord, help us to stop performing. We don't have to perform because we're already your child. You call us sons. You call us daughters. You call us yours. Because we're your children, because you love us, you gave us life to be lived to the fullest. So, Lord, as we go from here, we don't gotta fake it. We got the real deal, and that's you. Help us, Lord, to be genuine and authentic with you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. As you leave here tonight, never forget who he is and who he says you are, because we are his children. We'll see you guys this Sunday, 7, 8:30 and 10 a.m., or next week, Wednesday, at 6:30. God bless everybody. Take care and aloha.